All right. Well, here it is. I'm just doing kind of a three-week series here with you about grasping the Word of God. And today's about last weekend, how not to read it. Hopefully that kind of got you moving about wrong ways and how I can do it more steadfastly to the Lord. Well, today, I've got a lot of tips. I think I'm going to try to help you. But I want to come from an old prophet. His name was Jeremiah. Chapter 15, verse 16. I think there, if you look on your teaching guide, are you looking there with me? I put it right there with you. Will you just look down? I'm not going to make you stand. Will you read this with me off the bulletin today, off our teaching guide? Your words were found, and I ate them. Your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. Isn't that a great word? I love this. Your words were found, and I digested them. I partook of them. I delighted in them. All right, today, how many of you going to go to lunch? How many going to eat lunch when we finish today? Probably all of you, okay? And are you going to like, oh, I got to eat. I don't like to eat. You're going to delight in that. I've seen you eat, and when we go out and have dinner, I mean, we delight in it. But Jeremiah says, but he delighted. They ate the Word of God. Because what happens when we eat? We get nutrition. So when we take in the Word of God, we get spiritual nutrition. You know, you could have spiritual, malnutrition. I mean, if you're only eating once a week, like on Sundays or when you hear your favorite speaker on podcast or watching on TV, you watch David Jeremiah, and I love all those guys, you're not getting enough. So God wants us to eat His Word. So I'm going to try to walk through some ways. And is there a slide that's going to come up with a coffee cup? Is it come up next? Maybe I was just dreaming. There it is. Okay. Now, I know some of you think, in your Bible, y'all can give me the verse. I've never seen it. Thou goeth and get a cup of coffee now, and drink your coffee unto the Lord. I don't know if I've ever read it in there. But, huh? I used to use that as a joke. Hebrews, isn't that great? Hebrews. I thought she was going to say 1 Linda 2:3, but it probably in 1 Linda 2, but it is in Hebrews. But look, that is a great. I don't even drink coffee. In that picture right there, what does that picture evoke in you? Give me some answers. What does that evoke? Peace. Somebody said stimulation. Okay, that's the coffee. Okay, what else?
Calmness.
Okay.
Delight.
Calm. Awakening. Yeah. Wow. That's pretty good, isn't it? You're saying all that just from that picture? Yeah. Now, how many of you, that is kind of your habit, you like to grab a cup and you go off to your chair or to a table or a desk, or you go in the closet, or you go into a porch, and especially, the right, like, aren't you looking forward to, I'm not talking about spring. It's a little weird here in Alabama. We have heavy, 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 heavy pollen. Everything's yellow. You know what I'm saying? But after that clears away, don't you love being outside and just sitting with a cup of coffee or maybe your scripture or having some praise on and you're just worshiping the Lord? All right. So I'm just trying to build a case. So here's the premise. Making time for the important. You and I always make time for what we think important. And everybody said, yeah. I mean, and if I think it's important, you do it. If you don't, then you push it away. You get something that distracts you. So here's the key to reading God's Word. Making it a priority and making it a consistent thing that you do, a consistent habit that you do day in and day out, because you just know that your soul needs it. So here's the first blank. Get ready to fill it in. Pray for a hunger for God's Word. See, some of us maybe just have kind of a natural, insatiable desire to hunger for the Word of God. And as a Christ follower, we all should love and delight and hunger for God's Word. But maybe you've grown a little cold, or you've been a little bitter, you've been a little hurt, you've grown a little distant, your heart's gotten a little cold. I would say just simply usher a prayer. Lord, give me a hunger for spiritual food. Give me a hunger for your Word, God. In Psalm 119, 103, not Jeremiah, listen to what the psalmist said. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to the mouth. How many like honey? I mean, honey is just, natural honey, and we get honey maybe in our area, our region, it's even better for you and for allergies and stuff. But honey is just a good thing. And God says, my word is like a honey to you. So the psalmist has this love, this delight, this hunger for the Word of God, and he wants to experience the joy of the Lord. And he knows that that joy really only comes through time with the Father. So if you're missing some of your joy in your life, you're not delighting in the Lord, then ask God, God, I want to pray for a hunger. Lord, I don't know. Like, I'd write down these words. Let an encounter with God fuel your hunger. See, I think every time we have an encounter with the Father, it deepens, it increases our appetite. Like, have you ever noticed when you eat something that you really like, you usually just eat a little bit and you leave, right? Southern boys don't do that. What do we do, Zach? If we're from the South, what do we do?
Eat it up.
Eat it up. I was thinking second helping. Charles is thinking, no, we're talking about third helping here, you know? I mean, like, how many of you like German chocolate cake? Oh, didn't I just put something? I mean, right now, I want you to close your eyes, and I just want you to think. I want you just to obsess over German chocolate, coconut. Oh. Look under your seat. There's a piece right there. No, there's not. But you encounter, you feel your hunger for God. You experience the love of the Father. You experience the Holy Spirit. God, I just want to open your Word. I'm going to share some things that I read this morning. Just today, in my personal time with the Lord, not of the message, I needed it for my soul. But here's a point that just goes with this, number one. Feed the appetite that you do have. You're saying, I got a lot of hunger, or I got a little hunger for God, then feed that appetite still. Let God deepen that. And I think if you don't ignore it and you feed it, I think your appetite for the Word of God grows as you read it. Like, I always encouraged teenagers when I was working with them all these years as a youth pastor, I'd try to get them, hey, can you just spend 5 minutes a day with God? Can you just spend 10 minutes? And then I had some kids that were spending an hour. I had some spending 30. Had some spending none. But I was trying to say, man, if you'll just get a hunger for God's Word, if you'll just do it consistently, it's amazing what God will do. And then here's what you have to do along with that. You have to starve the competing appetites. What are some other appetites that come up against us versus the Word of God? What are some things that try to stifle our spiritual growth? Distractions, but like, what are they? What are things that keep us? Family. I mean, family's great, but it can really mess up your time. Work. Worry. Did you say worry too? Worry. Television. Yep, that big. Social media. Ministry. What is it? Pat, I know what you mean, but tell them what you mean by that, Pat. See that? So you want to serve, you know that's right, but you get so focused on that, then you neglect God's Word, you neglect Him, and then when you get tired, then you get mad at God, and God didn't even tell you to do all that anyway. Or sometimes, I've been a pastor 42 years, sometimes we serve, and it meets our needs. It fills our tank. Man. And God's like, no, it's about my presence. It's about my life. It's about you being with me. So pray for a hunger for God's Word. I just thought that was a good one. All right, now let's look at this right here. Number two, set a definite time. I can show you scripture after scripture that talks about the morning rising and meeting with the Lord. And I believe it's the greatest and the strongest and the most effective discipline. But I don't think it's the only one. Some of you are lunch people. You don't get going at 10:30. So lunchtime, and all I'm saying, if that's it, then make sure you discipline yourself that you pull away, you stow away sometime at your office or at home, and you spend some time in the afternoon. And then when I worked with teenagers, I used to disciple young men at 6 o'clock in the morning, and they were pretty cool. But most of the kids, didn't know what 6 o'clock looked like. But most teenagers in those days, they would tell me, I meet with God at night. Meet with the Father at night. And some of my girls, they were amazing. But I know what guys do. Man, you go horizontal, what happens? Yeah, boy, you and Jesus. Y'all. Got, and I had this one kid says, hey, man, says, I'm in the Word every day, Pastor. And I kept saying, man, that's awesome. But I thought, man, I don't think they're getting it. I mean, there's like no spiritual growth marks of Jesus. And then one day he was over here talking to the girls, and I walked up. He goes, oh, Keith thinks I'm all spiritual. I tell him I'm in the Word every day. He don't know. I named my bed the Word. That's pitiful. But I found this. If I wait to the end of the day to try to meet with God, I don't have much to give Him. I'm depleted. But I'm going to talk to you about a thing today. But I think it's good. I mean, read it morning, noon, and night. I'm going to tell you a thing today to help you go to sleep at night. It's a great app that I found. All right. So set a definite time. You got to set your... Here's the thing. You got to set your phone in the next room. And everybody said... Now, I know somebody like, Pastor, I read my Bible on my phone. Stop it. It's good, but I think you need a printed copy of the Word of God. Because I like them both. I got the Word right, well, it's in my bag. I got it on my phone. I love that. But I can get real distracted with my phone, too. Like, hey, man, how'd Auburn do last night? God don't care how Auburn did last night. Well, how did Alabama do? They almost choked, but they won. Or whatever, you know, yeah. All right. But you set a time with the Lord. And so an excellent time is early in the morning. Here it is. Don't wait. Begin your new holy habit of reading today. You see, today, if you're saying, oh, Pastor, I know these things are true. I feel such shame. I feel such guilt. This is not a house of guilt and condemnation, is it, Lenore? But if it's not been your regular habit, then begin today with Jesus. Tonight it'd be okay. This afternoon would be great. Morning, noon, and night would be better, wouldn't it, Lenore? But digest, eat, hunger, set a time with the Lord. Look at 3. Organize for success. Now, I've got a place in my house. I've got a little study there, and I got a little desk, and I got my office down there. And so a lot of things are going on, but I know at home, if I get all kind of stuff going and I got all this stuff on my desk, I can get real distracted with ADD. And it's like, you got to just kind of clear the space and just sit with your Bible and just sit with your journal or whatever, or sit with that cup of coffee, I know, and meet with Jesus. But clean the space. I'm going to show you something about the Word, praying the Word, but praying. I brought this down here to show you today. Hey, sweetie. I had a big one at the Ryan Road campus, and here I've got a little window with this stained glass. It's beautiful. And I've got these. Oh! And I got these in there. Okay. And look at that right there. You know what this is? I used to have a monster one on my wall. I thought she was getting up everybody to come look at it. You don't need to be looking at these prayer requests that quick. All right, here we go. You know what those are? Petitions. Just some. I got a list on my phone. When I'm walking, a lot of times I pull that thing out, and it's got like 55 things just kind of I'm going through. I got a prayer journal, but I like these. These are ones I keep in my window here at the office. And sometimes I'll find your name on there. And let me see, is Zach on here? I think he's on my phone. But guess what? Zach will move to this. Isn't that a good idea? Just something. You're saying, Pastor, I don't have a place. You got a closet? Put it on the wall in your closet. Just go in there and sit. You got a little place. I talk about prayer boards. How many think these are good? You know where I got this idea? Did you ever watch that movie, The Prayer Room? Amen. Man, that I was already a prayer warrior, wrote a book on prayer, but when I saw that, I said, I'm doing that. I'm stealing that right there. And I did it. And I've got people all over now that have prayer rooms. They said, because I took some pictures of mine and sent it to them. Man, what a great idea. The Lord is worthy, isn't he, Lenore? Lenore, do you have like a prayer board or something like that? But you see, like right here, like, God help Pat. He has, no. I pray for Pat and what he does. But like right here, today, thank you for McLean's baptism and make him a mighty warrior with obedience. Draw Finn's heart as he observes. I'm leaving this service. I'm flying over to Vaughn Forest, and my grandson's being baptized today.
Amen.
And his little brother will observe and watch. Yeah. And I got all. Anyway, hey, I think I've made the point. How many get what I'm trying to tell you? So, and you're saying, I tell you what, man. Oh, new shoes. I don't know what they're doing. I guess they're working too good. All right. Let's keep going. We got to keep moving. All right. So, number 4. I'd encourage you to start a morning routine. Now, you're saying, Pastor, I like late night TV and info commercials. You're lying. I like late night. I like this. I stay up late. I do this. I do that. Oh, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. Here's the only thing I found that works for me. Ready? This is going to change your life. I'll tell you next week. No, Zach won't be here, so I got to tell you today. Go to bed earlier. Hello? See, I like to stay up. I'm a late guy, but I make myself go to bed earlier than I want to because I know if I go to bed earlier, I can get up earlier. And the church said, I thought you were going to say, that works for you, not me. No, it'll work for anybody. And then when we get old, as we get mature, as some of the people at the table are, you wake up early anyway, don't you? Right? And I don't know if you want to do devotions at 2:30, 1:30, 2:30, 3:30, 4:30 in the morning. But Lord, help us to go to bed early. Hey, look at the next slide. I think it's going to come up. Make time for God every morning. You're saying, Pastor, that's been a holy habit of mine for decades. Praise the Lord. You're saying, well, Keith, it used to be my holy habit. I've kind of slipped. Today, I've just come to exhort and encourage you and give you practical tips. Is this helpful, church? All right, so let's keep going here. All right, now, this next part, it's in this. I'm just going to give them to you. And on your outline today, don't Google it now, but when you get home, you can Google. It says on sources there, Bible Reading Plans for 24 by Nathan W. Bigham. You can see the things I'm fixing to tell you. I like this. There he lists some plans, and you can download the 52-week Bible reading plan. You read through the Bible in what? A year. Those are good plans. There's so many different plans for reading through the Bible. Here's another one. A 5x5x5 New Testament Bible reading. You read Monday to Friday, the scriptures, and then the weekend you set it aside for other reflections of the scripture of your own, but it helps you get through the Word. Another is a Bible reading chart. And in that, some people like, how many like list? I've got a Bible reading thing. And you can check off, like, man, hey, I'm hitting it. And if you're missing, like, uh-oh, I got to catch up. And a lot of times then people get all guilt and shame and they give up. I'm just saying, there's ways to help us grow in Christ. Is that not the goal of every Christian? You want to mature in the understanding and the knowing of Christ. How about the chronological Bible reading plan? There's chronological Bibles. There's the Navigator's reading plan. The Navigator's Book at a Time. Here's one I think anybody could do. ESV has come out with this thing, the English Standard Version, a six-month New Testament reading plan that you can read the New Testament in 6 months by focusing on a short section every day. I used to teach people this. You can read the New Testament easily in 90 days. It's very easy to accomplish that. This one even slows it down. You read the New Testament in 6 months. But think if you just started reading the New Testament every 6 months and you read it again and again and again, what's going to happen? A lot of the Word's going to get in you. And hopefully there's going to be a lot of deposit. And God's going to bring those scriptures back to manifest. And you're going to know the Word of God. The thing is, you just want to get a plan and you want to work it. So God, help us. Help us to do this daily, Lord. Another one, the Bible in a Year. The Table Talk Bible Reading Plan includes 2 readings every day. One from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament. By the end of the plan, you have mastered. No, I don't say mastered. You have completed the what? The entire scripture. I won't ask you because I don't want anybody to feel convicted out loud. I want you to be convicted in your heart. Have you ever read the Bible, Genesis to Revelation? If not, I know you're saying, well, Pastor, you should have given this meeting this message on the end of December so I could have started. Did you know it's already March the 10th? Oh, my goodness. Guess what? If the Lord tarries, there'll be a March 10th next year. Start today on March 10th and read it through to March 10th. You're like, well, God's not going to let me into heaven. God's going to let you into heaven because of Jesus, not because you marked your little Bible chart off. I'm just trying to get us into the Word of God. And everybody goes, is this being helpful? I just want to encourage you about things that I know, that I've learned, that I've practiced, that sometimes I'm better at it than other times. But I want to encourage the body of Christ to hunger for the living Word of God. Psalm 119:18. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things of your law. Do y'all think God's Word is wonderful? This morning I was reading out of the Psalms, and it talked about the vastness of the sea and everything that He made, and it's all from Him. And God made every living creature. He made everything. And I think about the depth and the power and the infinite, I mean, just It's unbelievable when I just think about the vastness. I mean, when you start contemplating the vastness of God, do you not get moved? And do you not see order? And do you not see a creator? This stuff didn't happen by random chance. I mean, oh my goodness, that's just dumb. All right, look at number five. Read in a consecutive manner. Read consecutively. Perhaps you've jumped all over the Bible. I would say that's better than not reading the Bible at all. But you get some order. You get a pattern. You begin to do some of these things chapter by chapter, book by book. You pick up a book of the Bible. I tell people a lot of times they're saying they're new Christians or they're new to the Word of God or they're just getting serious about their faith. I go, personally, I encourage everybody to start in the book of John, the Gospel of John, or one of the synoptic, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, one of the synoptic Gospels. Or I say, well, hey, Romans would be a great place just to start with the Word of God. And other people are like, no, Pastor, I got to start with Genesis. Man, Genesis is a great place to start. I mean, and some things, well, hey, I'm going to start with the Psalms. I'm going to read 150 Psalms for the next 150 days. Awesome. Do you see what's happening? You've intentionally made a decision to read God's Word and hide God's Word in your heart, and you're on your way to journeying with Jesus, and you grow, and the church said, that's what I want to do. Man, church, I just want you to leave here today saying, man, you know what, Pastor, man, he was nailing truth, and I need that, and I want to read his word, because when I eat his word, I have delight, I have joy. I don't want you to just have Bible knowledge, and that's good. I want you to know him. There's a passage that won't come to mind right now, and it says, I want to know him, and I want to know him more intimately. I want you to know Christ better this year than you did last year. And I want you to know him better this month than you did last month because you're spending time with him. So, Lord, help us to, number six, turn your heart to the Lord. Now, we can't turn our hearts to the Lord. That's a work of God. God draws us. He pursues us. He draws us. But I do think that when we get away, we can maybe ask the Lord, or we should, Lord Jesus, I've gone astray. Would you turn my heart back toward you? Would you turn my heart to align with you? I open my heart. Would you wash over me with your word? God, would you speak to me? Would you enlighten me today? Would you give me inspiration? Lord, would you give me application? God, would you give me things that I've never seen in your law, how precious it is? God, help me to mine the truth of your word. And you just do that by yourself with the Lord. There's so many ways. Next weekend, I'm going to really show you how to study the Bible today, kind of an overview of that. But we just pray, Lord, I want to pray your word. Hey, let me tell you something I found powerful years ago. When you're praying, it's good sometimes to pray the word out loud, audibly to the Lord. Did you know that? And you speak it forth in faith, and you believe it. And I think it just resonates in the heavens, and I think it resonates in our hearts. How many of you find great peace when you speak the word of God? I do, because God's word is authority. It's the authority of the kingdom. It's the authority of heaven. So God, you need to do this. If anybody turns to God, then God turns them there. I know that. Here's a prayer I pray a lot, but not enough. Father, would you turn the hearts of Americans back to you? Would you turn America? We're not a Christian nation, folks, like we were. We're just not. We've really lost our morality. We've lost our compass. We've lost so many things. Now, we have remnants and we have strong believers in the body of Christ all across the country. But I'm telling you, we have done so much to mess it up. So sometimes we just need to pray, God, heal our land. Heal America. If my people confess their sins and turn from their wicked way, God promises to do something. He'll heal the land. Do y'all think we need healing in America? I mean, right now. Have you ever seen America more divisive in the years that you've lived life? Faye, you're a young woman. Has it ever been more divisive than it is today? It's pretty divided, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, I wish I could talk to Zelda right now. Zelda, what do you think? She'd have an opinion. She'd tell me about it. Okay. Acts 3:19. It's a great verse. Repent then. Turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Do you know every time we turn from sin to Jesus, the Lord refreshes us? But it's not just he refreshes us. I think God wants Christians to refresh others by our presence, by our power, by our witness, by our example, by our obedience, by the things we do. Do y'all believe that, church? I believe we refresh others by the way we act. I believe sometimes I don't refresh others by the way I act. Has anybody ever had a hard time being a jerk? Yeah. You're like, man, I messed that up. I wasn't very nice to my kids. I wasn't very nice to that person. Do y'all ever get frustrated when y'all go to the grocery store or when y'all go somewhere and there seems to be inept people in front of you? Or yesterday, I was over at Academy and I was picking up something and there's this sweet woman and she had two little kids, made me think about my grandkids. And you could tell she was kind of frantic. She got up there and the lady said, "Sweetie, one of these shoes is the wrong shoe." Ah! And she looked at me. She goes, "It's okay." And there was a long line. She goes, "It's going to be okay." She goes, "Let me just go ahead and pay for it right now. And I'll go back and get the other one because I don't want to hold these people up." I went, wow, what consideration. Then she got ready to put her card in and it wouldn't take her card. And she just threw her purse in the buggy and went, "Really?" They said, "Ma'am, this card reader doesn't work. Can you come over to this line?" And I'm just sitting there watching all this, you know. I could have been a jerk and go, "Really, I got in the slowest line. Can you believe this?" And that lady, she's trying to do the best she can. You know what I'm saying? I mean, how about when you get to the gas pump? Oh, my goodness. I'm going to confess Pastor Keith's sin. Here it is. I get gas down here at Costco. You wait for the second coming of Jesus, okay? And you get up there. Now, these people, they've been in line for 20 minutes. Why could they not pull their credit card out? They get up to the pump. They're looking through the purse. I saw a lady the other day. She went through 5 credit cards at the pump. I did not have holy thoughts, church. I was late. And here's all I could think. This is a southern thing. You know what I said, Nancy? That's exactly what I said. Bless her heart. And I didn't mean it spiritual either. I'm trying to think. I've got 3 quarters of a tank. Thank you, Jesus. I don't have to go get gas today. Okay. I can just see after giving that illustration today, I'd be out there when that say, "I've been passed through here 3 times. You still standing there. You shouldn't be talking like that. You got a rude attitude. Jesus is punishing you." Okay. All right. Here we go. So, number 7, pray over what you read. When you read, then ask God, "God, illuminate. Give me understanding. Lord, show me what is in here, Lord." Do you ever get struck by a verse and you get stuck there and you just don't understand it? Well, there's all kind of age we'll talk about next weekend that can help you understand it. But sometimes you got to keep pressing on. Or maybe you go ask a brother or sister in Christ. Or you certainly ask me and I'll try to answer. If I know, if I don't, we'll find the answer together. But God, we want to study. Let me give you number 8. Use helps. Now, next weekend I'll dig in this in a big way, but I just want to throw this out. There's so many resources at our disposal. There's also so many good ones, life application Bibles. I know a lot of y'all go, "The David Jeremiah Bible, that's the best one." And then somebody says, "No, it's the Tony Evans Bible." Somebody says, "No, Pastor, it's the John MacArthur Bible." "No, Pastor, it's the ESV. "No, Pastor, it's the Zach Jones." I didn't know he had one. I mean, you know, everybody just names all these Bibles. You know what I want you to do? I just want you to read the Word of God, and the church said. But there's a lot of good ones. And here I'm going to give you 5 best study Bibles if you want to write them down. The NLT Study Bible, it's a great study Bible. They also have a one for students. And it's filament enabled. You know what that means? This Bible right here is not a study Bible. I've got so many study Bibles. This is just the Bible that I'm preaching with because I wear them out a lot of times. And this particular one is an NLT, and it's just a reading. It's a good size. You know, I don't know, like I'm going to go in and have, you know, beat you over the head with it. And I like it. But let me tell you what's so cool about it. I can pull my phone out and can hold it up right here, and it will throw open so many commentaries and study notes to this Bible, all because it's filament enacted, and it's the way it's made. When I first heard about it a few years ago, I went, That's pretty cool. Especially if I'm on the road or something, or I'm away and I don't have my library with me or anything. Oh man, I wish I had a little more knowledge, you know, or I wish I had a little, and I can just call, I can pull up Bible maps and charts and words. Isn't that cool? Just because so they have study Bibles that have great extensive notes anyway, and then they have the ability. And you're like, "Pastor, that's pretty awesome." All right, so let me give you some other ones here. The NLT Illustrated Study Bible is a good one. The Life Application Study Bible is a really great one. The first one I ever used was the Thompson's Chain Reference 100 years ago. And it's still one of my favorites. I've worn it out. I mean, there's just the chronological study Bible as it really, because, you know, Scripture's not written chronologically, the Bible put together like that. So it's really helpful. I could go on and on, but I'll give those to you. All right, show me the next slide. I want this to come up. I got to do this real quick. All right, this right here. I've talked to you about it, but nobody took me serious, so maybe today. Lateo 365. It is an app made for prayer and reading. It's audible, or you can read it, and it has morning and night, and they have these great voices, like these Australian accents and English and different people, but they have devotions, and I love to listen to those sometimes on my walk. And then they also have one at night that kind of just slows down the rhythm of your day. All I'm telling you is, today, our phones can be such a blessing, because so many times people don't read the Word. I remember one time I was with a guy, and he was dying of pancreatic cancer. Matter of fact, he supported this church in more ways than you'll ever dream. And he was a friend, never came to our church, but he loved our church and gave to our church and gave to our mission, and what a godly man. And I did his funeral, and I remember one day I went up to his house, and this is several years ago now. And he had a stack of CDs like this. You know what it was? It was the Word of God. He goes, "Keith, I'm not able to hold my Bible and really read anymore." He says, "But I just lay here in this bed and I listen to hours on end of CDs." Well, today, there's so many audible versions, you can just get your phone out. And I don't say trade this for reading the Word of God, but I think there's great times to be able to listen to the Word of God. And the church said, sometimes you let them do the heavy lifting, don't you? And you can just, now, I'm visual. I do much better comprehension, understanding when I can write, when I can read, when I can highlight. That's my mode. But you know what? Okay. But it is good to have an audible. How many of you have an audible Bible? You listen to it. You see, just a couple of you. I'm just submitting this to you today, that this might be a new tool that could help you in your work. All right, number nine, keep track of your Bible reading. I talked about that because that's good. I finished off this chapter. I finished off this book of the Bible. I'm reading through. I've got a goal. I want to hide the New Testament. I want to hide the Psalms in my heart this year. I'm reading through. It just helps you keep track of progress, okay? And you be a student of His Word. Number 10, you guard against distractions. And I talked about that, but it basically means I treasure my time with Jesus so much that I'm asking the Lord to drive interruptions that distract me. And for me, my biggest distraction today is my phone. It's my office. It has so many things that I use, and I communicate with you and on and on and on. But I also realize that if I'm not careful, this phone can dictate what I'm doing. How many of your phone ever gets you in trouble? You ever realize that your phone takes over? It takes control of you? Sometimes our troll becomes a monarch. A king. Jesus wants to reign, not our phone. So Lord, help us to just put it down and get it. All right, number 11, when you're reading, put the Word of God into action. I hear Pat talk about that all the time. Putting our compassion into action. It's one thing that he demonstrates to us as a family so well. And a lot of you do so many different things to serve needs in the body of Christ. And we want to continue to do that. So, Lord, help us to put our faith into action. James gave a real simple word. Do not deceive yourselves by just listening to the Word. Instead, put it into practice. Whoever listens to the Word but does not put it into practice is like a man who looks into a mirror and sees himself as he is, but he takes a good look at himself and then goes away. And once he does, he forgets what he looks like. That's meaningless. So, God, help me to be a man of action. And let me give you the last one real quick, because this is important. Because there is always a response to God's Word. 12 is listen to the Bible being read. I got ahead of myself. But that's that listen to the Bible. God, help me to listen to your Word. It might be audibly, or Lord, it might be just when I spend time in your Word, I don't want the book of the law to depart from my mouth. But Lord, I want to become a believer that is committed to the Word of God. Will you give me that next slide, Dan? I love this. You want to write this down? Every believer can read the Word of God. Everybody believe that? Every believer can read the Word of God. But every believer needs the Word of God. God, we need your Word. We need your Word more than we need the next breath we take. And I think we need the next breath, don't you? I don't advise you to skip breathing. But we need the Word of God. So, Lord, we're looking to you. We want you to reveal truth to us today. Lord, speak over us, encourage us, and help us journey. Let's pray. Lord God, I am humbled by your Word. And Lord, I pray that today maybe some would begin new holy habits of spending time with Jesus in his Word. That we would read it slowly and in a frequent manner and always with prayer. That it would result in passion for our relationship with Christ. Lord, we want to turn to you because you're enough. You're our provider. You're our God. Thank you for calling us into relationship with you, Father, through Jesus our Lord. Amen.